Let's open our Bibles again to Deuteronomy chapter 19. The title of the message this morning is Christ Our Refuge. The cities of refuge we just read about to open our service are a very important picture of salvation in Christ given to us in the Old Testament. Last night my daughter Savannah and I were talking and she said, "So you're bringing two messages from each book of the Bible. How do you just pick two?" Well, my theory in this has been this. Try to bring a message that gives us some understanding of the main message of each book and preach messages on that bedrock truths that our faith is built upon. And when I began looking through some of these Old Testament books, I wanted to preach on these cities of refuge. Well, the Lord made it easy. They're mentioned in five different books of the Bible. So I had a few opportunities to bring a message on these cities of refuge. Now, if a man in this day under the law killed someone in cold blood, they planned it, they lay in wait and they jumped out and killed them, or maybe in the heat of wrath they just picked up a stone and killed them, bashed their head in, that man would be put to death, usually by a family member of the killed person. And that was called the Avenger of Blood. Somehow I suspect there'd be less crime in our country if we kept that today. If someone killed one of my loved ones and I could be the Avenger of Blood, I promise you justice would be swift. That might be a good idea. But if a man killed someone accidentally, he didn't mean to do it. It was complete something happened out of his control. But he did kill a man. Well, he could run to the city of refuge. And there he'd be safe from the Avenger of Blood. Look in Deuteronomy 19, verse 4. "This is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood. His hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die. He shall flee into one of these cities and live." Now, I want us to look at several ways that these cities of refuge are a picture of Christ. I don't want us to see this just as so we can understand what the picture means. I want us to see this. This is my prayer. That we'll see how these cities of refuge picture Christ our refuge so that we'll flee to Him. Flee to Christ. Now, first, the cities of refuge were appointed by God. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 19. "When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations, whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." These cities of refuge were appointed by God. And they were appointed by God's grace for His people. The law could never make provision for refuge for the slayer. Moses couldn't come up. Moses, who represents the law, couldn't come up with this idea. These cities of refuge were appointed by God, and they were appointed in His grace to His people. And I want you to notice this. These cities were appointed before Israel ever took possession of the promised land. They were still in the wilderness when these instructions for the cities of refuge were given. They were appointed before there was ever an actual need of them. Now look at John chapter 3. That's Christ our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ was appointed by the Father to be the Savior of His people. In John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but God sent His Son into the world that the world through Him might be saved." The Lord Jesus Christ was made the surety of a better covenant. By whom? By you? By me? No, by the Father. He's the Savior appointed by the Father. The Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, was made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By whom? By the Father. The Lord Jesus was made everything we need. He was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. By whom? By the Father. Well, when was Christ made all these things for His people? Before the foundation of the world. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God purposed, God planned, God provided the Savior before there was ever a sinner in need of the Savior. Just like He provided these cities of refuge before there was ever a need for them. Now look in Numbers chapter 35. This is part of the instruction that we see about these cities of refuge in Numbers. These cities of refuge were for every sinner. These cities of refuge weren't just for the Jew. They are for Jew and Gentile alike. Numbers 35 verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Christ is the Savior that God has appointed for sinners. And He's the Savior of the whole world. Jew and Gentile alike. He's the Savior of people from every nation, every walk of life. The only requirement is that you're the slayer, that you're guilty. These cities of refuge were appointed by God. Second, the cities of refuge were easy to get to quickly. Verse 2 in our text, in Deuteronomy 19. Thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land. These cities of refuge were in the midst of the land. And later on, when God enlarged the land, there were six cities of refuge. And they were very strategically placed throughout Israel so that they were in the midst of the land. They were placed so that no matter where you were in Israel, you were never more than a half a day's journey to get to one of those cities of refuge. Look in Acts chapter 17. The cities of refuge were always near. That's Christ, our refuge. Brethren, no matter where you are, Christ is near. Look in Acts 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And this is why He's done that, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Christ is not far from us ever. He's always near. Now these cities of refuge, you have to remember this, they're just pictures. All they are is a type of Christ. Christ Himself is always better than the picture. Now, if you accidentally killed your neighbor, you were about working with him, you accidentally killed him, you still had to get yourself to the city of refuge, or the avenger of blood could kill you. Now, suppose that happened to Isaac. Well, no problem for Isaac. He's running cross country, he's running all over creation. It'd be no problem for Isaac to get to that city of refuge. Half a day's journey, no problem for him. If I was chased, if I was the avenger of blood chasing, I'd never catch him. He got no worries. He's going to get to the city of refuge. Janet has plantar fasciitis. The bottom of her foot hurts so bad. She can't walk for half a day, much less go anywhere in a hurry. If the avenger's after her, he's going to catch her. Christ our Savior is so much better than the city of refuge. Flee to Him. You'll get to Him. Christ is so near. The moment you begin to come to Him, you're there. He's near. Come to Him. You see how much better He is in the picture? Now, these cities of refuge, they were always close by, and they were always easy to get to. Look at verse 3. And thou shalt prepare thee a way. You divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. They placed these cities of refuge strategically. You didn't have to climb a mountain to get to one of them. You didn't have to cross a river to get to one of them. You didn't have to worry about minefields, you know, scattered around or anything. The roads leading to the city of refuge were well marked. And every time that road came to an intersection, you didn't have to wonder which way to go. There was a sign at that intersection, big bold letters pointing, saying, "Refuge, refuge, go this way." And once a year, the priests would go through every road in Israel, and they'd make sure that those roads were all clear. They checked the signs, make sure that sign hadn't fallen down. If it fell down, they'd put up a new one. If weeds had grown up or trees had come to block it, they'd cut the tree down to make sure everyone could easily see these signs in great big letters saying, "Refuge, refuge." And they checked the roads. They make sure the road was smooth. There couldn't be trees across the road. Couldn't be big stones that could, you know, cause the fleer, the slayer to stumble as he fleed. The road had to be flat and smooth and clear so that the manslayer could always flee safely to the city refuge. That's God's preachers. We're signposts pointing men and women to Christ. We take God's word and we say, "Look here. Here's Christ. Look here, here he is. Look here, here's Christ." We're signposts pointing sinners to Christ. That's our only job. Our job is not to try to organize things or not try to get you to make a decision. Our only job is to point men and women to Christ. And we're to make sure the road is smooth, that it's plain and clear. The message of Christ must be plain. It must be simple. One of my great fears is that you'd leave here after hearing me preach and say, "What in the world did he mean? I've done a mighty poor job," if that's what you think. The gospel of Christ is to be plain and simple so that you plainly see Christ and you know where he is to flee to him for refuge. And God's preachers don't do it one day a year. We do it every day, pointing men and women to Christ. I want you to listen to me, especially you children. You listen to me. You grow up and you'll go to different places, and as you grow and see different things in the world, I want you to remember what I'm about to say. If you hear a man preach and he puts anything between you and Christ, if he puts any requirement that you have to meet in order to come to Christ, that man's a false prophet. I don't care how religious the activity might sound that you have to do or how religious the ceremony may seem. If that man puts anything between you and Christ, that man's a false prophet. God's preachers don't do that. God's preachers remove every obstacle so you go straight to Christ. God's preachers hem you up so you have no place to go but Christ. For this reason, Christ is all you need. He's all you need for salvation. That's all you need. All you do. All you need is to believe him and come to him. The way was always clear and plain so that the manslayer could flee to the city of refuge. Here's the third thing. The manslayer must flee to the city of refuge immediately. When he killed that man, it says here at the end of verse 5, he shall flee unto one of those cities. Now, if the manslayer dilly-dallied around and the avenger of blood caught him, the avenger could put him to death. And the law wouldn't say anything to him. It's all right if he did that. The manslayer had to immediately flee to the city of refuge if he wanted to live. Now, we've been very blessed here in Ashland. We've had a place to come hear the gospel preached for over 60 years. That's a long time. We've been blessed to hear many of God's servants preach the gospel many times. But now, don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled into thinking that will last forever. Don't be fooled and think, "Well, the gospel's always been here. You know, I got plenty of time." Don't be fooled into thinking there'll always be another Sunday. There'll always be another Wednesday. There'll always be another time for me to hear the gospel and come to Christ. Maybe not. Maybe, but maybe not. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow now. Each one of us were guilty sinners. Our sin and our rebellion has made each one of us individually guilty before God. deserving eternal death. Our sin has made it so we deserve eternal separation from God. So there's nothing that's more urgent for us than to flee to Christ. Nothing's more urgent. Our sin has made us worthy of hell. There's nothing more urgent than to come to Christ and to come right now. I mean right now where you sit. You come to Christ. You flee to Him. I implore you, come to Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I implore you, come to Christ. And right now. Do it right now. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be the day of salvation, but today is. Because today is the day the gospel of Christ is being preached. Then you come to Him. And you come to Him right now. Now, coming to Christ is not coming down front and shaking the preacher's hand. If somebody puts that in front of you, they put that between you and Christ, that you've got to come down the front and shake the preacher's hand before you can be saved, that man's a false prophet. That's not coming to Christ. Coming to Christ is not a movement of your body at all. Coming to Christ is a movement of heart. You come to Christ by faith. Believing Him, resting in Him, trusting in Him. Coming to Christ is not going through any religious ceremony whatsoever. Coming to Christ is not even coming to the waters of baptism. Coming to Christ is not a movement of your body. Coming to Christ is coming to Christ in faith. Believing Him. Believing that His death, His burial, and His resurrection saved my soul. Christ is all it took, and all my hope, all my confidence is in Him. Now, when you come to Christ like that, Brother Henry used to say that'll leak out on you. You will confess Christ in believer's baptism if you come to Him that way. But not in order to be saved. Because God already saved you. Because Christ is already your hope. When you come to Christ, when you come to believer's baptism, you're coming not in order to come to Christ, but because you already have. And you're just confessing what God's already done for you. The manslayer must flee to the city of refuge immediately. And then, the manslayer must be found where? In the city of refuge. See that at the end of verse 5? He shall flee unto one of those cities and live. The manslayer will only live if he's in the city of refuge. That's salvation. A sinner can only live if he's in Christ. It's not enough for the manslayer to know about the city of refuge. He's got to be in the city. It's not enough for a sinner to know about Christ. You can't just know about Him. You must be in Christ. It's not enough for the manslayer to agree there's a need for the city of refuge. He's got to be in the city of refuge. Just like it's not enough for a sinner to agree there's a need for Christ to come save us. He must be in Christ. It's not enough to believe if you get into the city, you'll live. You've got to be in the city. It's not enough for a sinner to believe you'll be saved if you do come to Christ. You've got to come to Him and be found in Him. It's not enough to know someone else who's already safe in the city. You must be in the city. It's not enough for us to know someone else who's already in Christ, who's already has faith in Him, has already come to Him. You must be in Christ. And the very moment that manslayer entered the city of refuge, he was safe. He lived. He was as safe as the man's been there 20 years. That's the way it is for a sinner when he comes to Christ. The moment you come to Christ, you're just as saved as the man who believed Him 20 years ago. But better than that, better than that. The moment you come to Christ, you're just as saved as Moses, who's already in glory. Just as saved. Flee to Christ. You must be found in the city. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You must be found in Christ. Fifth, look over at Numbers chapter 35. The manslayer must be in the city of refuge, and he must stay in the city of refuge. Don't leave. Numbers 35, verse 24. This is after the manslayers fled to the city, and they're still going to have a trial. You know, see, did he do this on purpose, or was it? Did he mean to do it? If he didn't mean to do it, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood, according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return unto the land of his possession. Now the manslayer is safe if he's in the city of refuge. But if he ever steps outside the borders of that city of refuge, and the avenger of blood finds him, the avenger can kill him. And the law will say, that's just. The law is not going to have anything to say about it. And the manslayer, his family, his loved ones, nobody can complain about it, because he should have stayed in the city of refuge. You're safe as long as you're in the city of refuge. Why would you leave? Don't ever leave. The believer has come to Christ. And you must stay in Christ. Now, you're never going to mature to the point that you can stand on your own outside of Christ. We must remain in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1. If we're saved, we must remain in Christ and never leave Him. In short, what this means is we've got to continue in the faith. How'd you start your race? How'd you start by coming to Christ? In faith. Then how are you going to continue? In faith. Look, Colossians 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now this, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, that's not a condition of salvation. That's a description of those who God has saved. He's given them faith and they continue in the faith. I'll show you that in Hebrews chapter 10. This is not a condition. It's a description of those who have faith. If God's given you faith, you will continue in it. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we who have faith, we're not of them which draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The manslayer must stay in the city of refuge. Now sixth, the law says that the manslayer is safe as long as he stays in the city of refuge. This is the law of God. This is the word of God. The law of God says the avenger of blood cannot touch the manslayer as long as he remains in the city of refuge. The manslayer is not living in fear. As long as he stays in the city of refuge, he's not living in fear. You know, he's not like an escaped convict. You know, this big story we've had recently about these two fellows that escaped from that prison in New York. I just imagine how what their life was like after they climbed out of that sewer cover, you know, off onto the street. From that moment until the moment they were killed or the moment they were captured, they lived in absolute constant fear. constantly looking over their shoulder, constantly on the move, constantly afraid of seeing anybody, constantly afraid of being caught because they know they're guilty. That's not the way it was for the manslayer. God Himself protects the manslayer as long as he's in the city of refuge. Now, the law of God demands that the guilty die, doesn't it? But that same law of God demands that the manslayer is safe in the city of refuge. That's salvation in Christ. The law of God demands that the guilty die. The law of God demands that the guilty spend eternity in hell, separated from God. But that same just law of God demands that every sinner who's come to Christ is safe. Why are they safe in Christ? Because Christ already died as their substitute. So not only now can the law not touch anyone for whom Christ died, the law has no desire to touch anyone for whom Christ died, because Christ satisfied the law for His people. He satisfied the law for everyone hiding in Him. We do hope and trust in God's grace. But this salvation of the just, this salvation of God's elect, is a just salvation. Our hope is in the justice of God. That in justice, God put away my sin through the death of my substitute. So in justice, the law demands I go be with Christ. Now, that's the cities of refuge. But there's a problem. Just like every Old Testament picture now, these cities of refuge are just pictures. The picture always breaks down at some point because they are just pictures. There are six cities of refuge. You can choose six. If you want to travel more than half a day, you like this city better than the other one, I reckon you'd go to anyone you wanted to. There's just one Savior. There's only one place of salvation for your soul. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior of sinners. Safety in the city of refuge required a physical movement. You've got to get your body inside that city to be saved. Salvation in Christ demands no physical movement. Coming to Christ is a movement of the heart by faith, not the body. The cities of refuge could only save the body from death. Christ saves the soul. He gives the soul eternal life. And here's the real problem. Salvation in the cities of refuge was for the man who didn't mean to kill somebody. He didn't intend to. Have you thought that going through here? Now, if the manslayer meant to do it, if he planned it out, he did it in a heat of anger, he hated the man before and he saw an opportunity and he killed him, he ran to the city of refuge, they'd say, no, you meant to do this. And they'd take him from the city of refuge and give him to the avenger of blood, and the avenger of blood would kill him. That describe anybody you know? Look here in Deuteronomy 19, our text, verse 11. But if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Oh, we got a problem. You and I have sinned on purpose. We meant to do it. Oh, we meant to do it. It says here in verse 11, if any man hate his neighbor, by nature we hate God. We hate the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just blame all this on the men who were alive when our Lord was here on his earthly ministry. They hated him. We do too. We got the same nature. They lie in wait for him. They kept setting up traps for him, trying to find a way they could take him. And when they finally, God gave them the opportunity, they rose up against God's Son and they smote him mortally so that he died. We meant to do it. Oh, we meant to do it. We put the Son of God to death on purpose. There in John were Pilate's constantly trying to let the Lord Jesus go. And he finds Philip's hands, I can't let him go. And Scripture says he delivered him over to their will. And they tortured and put to death the Son of God. That's our will. We did it on purpose. Every sin we've ever committed, we can say it's a sin of ignorance if we want. We did it on purpose. Every one of them. But I've got good news. Here's where the picture of these cities of refuge breaks down. Christ, our refuge, is so much better than these cities. Now, the cities of refuge were all cities that belonged to the priests. The priests were given 40-some-odd cities in the land. And these six cities were chosen of the priestly cities. You can read about that if you want Numbers 35 or 6. And here's the reason all these cities were priestly cities. Everything that relates to a sinner being forgiven of his sin, everything that relates to the sinner who did it on purpose, being accepted of the Father, is always through the person and the work of Christ our High Priest. The only way a sinner like us can be accepted of the Father is in the person and the work of Christ our High Priest. Well, all right, what does that have to do with our guilt? Well, if we meant to do it, and we did, we can't hide in the city of refuge, can we? That was true under the Old Testament law. If you meant to do it, you can't be in the city of refuge. But Christ is better than the law. Look over in Joshua chapter 20. God gave us a picture that he's better than the law. He's better than the cities of refuge in Joshua chapter 20. Verse 6. He shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, into his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. When the high priest died, the manslayer could go home. He had to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest died. And when the high priest died, the manslayer could leave the city of refuge and go back home, be with his family, be on his farm, go back to his job, and the avenger of blood could not touch him. Now, Christ is better than the picture. The manslayer had to stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. So as long as the high priest lived, he was safe in the city of refuge, wasn't he? What about Christ, our high priest? He died. But he rose again, didn't he? And he ever lives making intercession for his people. And everyone hiding in Christ our refuge is safe as long as Christ the high priest lives. Well, he lives eternally. So we're safe eternally. There's never a moment we're unsafe. And the believer hiding in Christ is doubly secure. We meant to sin. We meant to do it every time. And the guilty deserve to die the eternal death. That's us. But Christ, our high priest, has already died as a substitute for his people. So we go free. Look back in our text one more time. Joshua chapter 19. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 19. And verse 13. This is what you do to that man. He meant to do it. He's guilty. You take him, you give him to the avenger of blood that he may die. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Now the innocent cannot die, but the guilty must die. That's God's law. When the high priest died, the innocent, when Christ our high priest died, he died on Calvary's tree. An innocent man was not put to death. A guilty man died. The Father made the Son to be guilty of the sin of his people. And Christ died. He died under the justice of God. And that same justice of God, that holy justice of God, demands that everyone Christ died for go free. Christ died. He paid their sin debt and he made them not guilty. Now you go free. You go home. Because Christ the high priest has already died. Evelyn was telling me before the service this morning, she often thinks about going home, often thinks about it. You know why a believer looks forward to going home? The high priest has already died.
Now you go home.
It's time to go home. Now, best I know how, I've showed you your guilt and your sin. I showed us the danger we're all in because of our sin. Best I know how, from God's Word, I've showed you the Savior. I've showed you the truth of God's Word. This is God's Word, not Frank's Word, God's Word. Any sinner, stranger, sojourner in the land, Jew or Gentile, any sinner can come to Christ and hide in Him from the wrath of God against your sin. Now come to Christ. Come to me. Right now. You come to me. Somebody else can't come for you. You come to me. You come and you hide in Christ. Someone will say, well, can I come to Christ? Could this word really be for me to come to Christ? Let me ask you a question. Are you guilty? Then yeah, you can come to Christ. Do you need Christ because you have no other hope? Then yes, you can come to Christ. You come right now and find safety and rest for your soul. I want you to look at two scriptures before we close. Psalm 62. We read this to begin the service, but now, after seeing Christ our refuge, let's look at a couple of these verses again. Psalm 62, verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God Himself is a refuge for us. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is an end to them, is to them an end of all strife. You know, man goes to court, he puts his hand on the Bible. He swears to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Because he put his hand on the Bible, that's an end what we believe in. We'll say his testimony is true and honest. He swore by the greater, that's his oath. Well, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Oh, I pray God will give us that faith to lay hold of the hope set before us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the refuge for the guilty. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the richness of Your mercy and Your grace to Your people. That You would appoint Your only begotten Son, the Son of Your love, the glory of heaven, to be the refuge for sinful men and women such as we are. Such grace, such love, such wisdom is beyond our human comprehension. Father, how we thank You. And Father, I pray You'd bless Your Word as it's been preached. Bless Your Word to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You would open the hearts of Your people, that You would reveal Christ to us through the preaching of Your Word this morning, and cause us to run to Christ, to be found in Him. Not in our own works, not in our own righteousness, not in our own religious activities, but be found in Him. And Father, cause us to be faithful to Christ, that we continue in the faith, looking to Him, trusting in Him, resting in Him. That one day, that day we long for, the day we look forward to, call us home, to be with you forever, because the high priest died. Christ, our high priest, died to put away our sin. Father, we're thankful. Get glory to yourself, we pray, through the preaching of your word. It's in Christ's name, for his sake we pray. Amen.